We practiced what we preached this week in regard to that song. That song is a perfect description of what happened this week. How many of you came over any time during the week, helped us out, even just came over and helped us eat a hot dog or hamburger Thursday? Would you stand up, please? All the people that helped. I applaud you. God bless you. God bless you. What a great week with the Backyard Bible Club, getting out in the community, all the people we got to talk to during the week. It was a blessing. We felt your prayers and the participation. It was nice every day to not have to worry, are we going to have enough help? Are we going to be able to do this? We had plenty of help, and it was wonderful, and I thank the Lord for you. Got to talk to a bunch of met a bunch of new families this week. Children received Christ this week for the first time in their lives, which is a blessing. Yeah, that's right. Just a great time, and I believe it is a good precursor to the Vacation Bible School that we're going to have later on in the summer, first week of August. So mark that down, and I know several of you have already volunteered to help with that, but be thinking about that and praying about that as we get out into the community, connected up with the Salvation Army, with a group over there. Martha Jenkins is over there. We've known Martha for a long time, and it was just good all the way around. I told Dane, he and Rick, I said, I have to admit, it exceeded my expectations, which sometimes very hard to do because I can get some pretty high expectations about things. Glad you're here today. It's a wonderful day. It's true summer in Savannah. It's hot as a firecracker, and the humidity is high. And yes, I think that Si sitting back there, is that you, Si? Somewhere in the back there. Okay. I can't see you today. I broke my glasses, and the only ones that work that have the little bottom thing in them are my sunglasses, and I didn't think you wanted me to stand up here today with that. We've been talking about spiritual gifts. And today, I want to begin with the definition that we've given to spiritual gifts. And here it is. Spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit to every single believer. Took a lot of time on that last week. According to God's grace. In fact, the word grace and gift, they go together. And designed for use in exalting Christ, lifting up Jesus, edifying the church, and evangelizing the secular world. So, you exalt Jesus, edify the church, build up the church, and evangelize the secular world. Now, questions that we had, the question that we had last week, you know, I ask you, you know, have you received God's greatest gift? You have Jesus in your life. Are you sure of that? Sure of that. As we begin today, I want you to be considering that. You may be here today and you're not sure. You're not sure. I'm not asking you, did you join a church? I'm not asking you, did you have some religious experience? I'm asking you, does the Lord of the universe, the Christ, the Son of God, does He reign and rule in your heart? Does He live in you? That's my question of you today. And if you haven't done business with Him in that way, then maybe by the end of today, you'll decide that you want Jesus in your life. Now, our question for today is, who is behind the spiritual gifts? Who is behind us? We've been looking at a biblical basis of spiritual gifts. Then, who's behind all of that? That's right. And God the Spirit, Daniel, that we're going to talk about in just a moment. John, let's play that video.
the great and powerful Oz. I said, come back tomorrow.
If you were really great and powerful, you'd keep your promises.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz? You ungrateful creatures, think yourselves lucky that I'm giving you audience tomorrow instead of 20 years from now.
Oh.
The great Oz has spoken.
Oh.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great Oz has spoken.
Who are you?
Oh, I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz.
You are? I don't believe you.
No, I'm afraid it's true. There's no other wizard except me.
You humbug!
Yes, it's exactly so. I'm a humbug.
Oh, you're a very bad man.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Now, in a lot of ways, some of us here have grown up under teaching and in situations where it at least was implied, pay no attention to the Holy Spirit. We talk about Him, we talk around Him, but in fact, here are some common responses to when we start talking about the Holy Spirit and our responses to Him. Often we misunderstand Him. Don't understand the Holy Spirit. In fact, it becomes a hands-off. I don't understand, I don't want to understand anything about the Spirit. Secondly, we fear Him. Have you been there before? We're afraid that He's going to do something weird with us. You been at that party before? Man, if you start talking about the Holy Spirit and open, something weird is going to happen to me. It's going to be like something that happens on TV or one of those movies. Third, response is to run from Him. Man, yeah, if the Holy Spirit is there, I'm going this way. Doing a 180 and running away from the Spirit of God. Again, based in fear, because not so sure we want Him to have that kind of influence in our lives. Fourth response is to ignore Him. Just pretend He's not there. Pretend the Spirit of God is not here. And oftentimes in the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is like the elephant in the room. Literally. Well, ignore Him. Just pretend. Maybe if I ignore Him, He'll go away. Fifth, to recognize Him. That's a response. Yes, that's the Holy Spirit. He's working there, but I'm working right here. He's there, I'm here. As long as He's there, I'm here. Everything is okay. Sixth response. And you're probably going to think this is the last one, but it's not. To pursue Him. Some of us grew up in traditions of the church where there was a formula by which you pursued the Spirit of God. And, oh, you do this, 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 and phew, you're hard after the heart of God. Really? Does God require that you go looking for Him? You know, where is He? And the last one, we could go on and on with these, but here's the one we're looking for, is to cooperate with Him. You see, from the beginning, He's been seeking you. Think about it. Adam and Eve in the garden. Everything's right. They're going on their walk each day with God in the garden. This beautiful bliss of an experience. I talk about experiencing God on a daily basis. Sin enters in, and what happens to Adam and Eve's relationship? Hey, they want to hide from God. But what does God do? He comes looking for them. Now, I know some of you have it in your testimony. Well, I found God, or I started seeking after God. You know, that's really not exactly correct, because that isn't the first thing. Because you really didn't find God. God came after you. And you finally just said, oh, yes, He has been with me all along. He has been hard after me all along. I'll never forget the testimony of one of our guys, Greg Dungy. He's up in Indiana right now, serving a church. And Greg was he and his wife were the second and third people that we baptized when we started the church. And Greg had in some ways, a rough and rowdy past. But he was gloriously saved. God just did a wonderful change in his life. And he went back to work. He worked for Circuit City. And he called me up distraught about a month after he had come to Christ. He said, I can't believe it. I said, what are you talking about? He said, these people are just so hard-headed. I said, what are you talking about? He said, man, Dusty, every day I have been sharing the gospel with people at work, and do you know some of them don't want to hear about him? I said, really, Greg? Tell me some more about that. He said, man, I've shared it every way I know how. And some of these people, they just ignore me. I said, Dusty, why can't they see? I had one question for him. I said, Greg, how long did it take you, son? Well, I hadn't thought about that. I said, do you remember what you told me that something happened to you 10 years ago? He said, yeah. He said, I was in that accident. And I knew God was after me then. I said, son, that was 10 years ago. 10 years ago. Give God a chance. Give these people a chance for Him to work in their lives. You see, God had been after him, just like He's been after all of us by means of His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood person of the triune God. We believe, and it's part of our doctrine, it's part of what we believe, it's part of mainline Christianity, that it is one God who is expressed in three persons. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's not like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not like the Holy Spirit is the junior member of the Trinity. It's not how it works. It's Father, Son, and Spirit. Three in one. One God expressing Himself in three ways. Yeah, that's why the Pharisees got so uptight with Jesus when he shared that he was the Son of God. They weren't mad with him because they misunderstood. They were mad with him because they understood exactly what he was saying. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if we're going to understand then the biblical basis of spiritual gifts, I hope we've whet your appetite over the last couple of weeks. You've got to understand where those spiritual gifts come from. the spiritual gift, or the spirituals, as they're called in 1 Corinthians, come from the Holy Spirit. That's why they're called the gifts of the Spirit, capital S. So, let's look at the Holy Spirit. There are three pictures of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. At least three. One is a picture of the Spirit who's seen as a fire. Matthew 3:11 says, I baptize with water those who turn from their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is far greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to be a slave. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Who was John the Baptist talking about? John the Baptizer talking about? He's talking about Jesus, and Jesus was going to come and bring His Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus. So He's represented as a fire. We're not going to chase that too far. We could spend all our time right there. But He's also seen as a wind, as the wind. John 3:8 says, the wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So the Spirit being seen as a wind. We see the Spirit of God in Genesis. He's hovering over the water. And many times in Scripture He's referred to in that way, this wind. And you can't control the wind. Where does the wind come from? Where does it go? Jesus spoke it. You accept by faith. Number three, He sends a river. John 7, 37-39 says, if you're thirsty, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. For the Scriptures declare that the rivers of living water will flow out from within. And when He said living water, He was speaking of the Spirit, capital S, who would be given to everyone believing in Him. There it is. Believing in Him. Who is it that comes up and sets up residence in you? The very Spirit of Christ, who is the Holy Spirit. Our bodies become the tabernacle of God. So, who is the church? We are the church. So, everywhere we go, we're carrying the tabernacle of God ourselves. All right. So, let's see some descriptors of the Holy Spirit. First of all, He's not an it. He is a person. Mild form of heresy when you use the wrong pronoun to refer to Him as an it. He. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says this, when the Father sends the Counselor, the Comforter, the King James says, as my representative. And by Counselor, I mean the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything, will remind you of everything I myself have told you. So, we see that the Spirit is a Counselor. He is one, in fact, one of the Greek name for the Comforter is the word parakletos. It's called the paraclete. Para meaning alongside of, kletos meaning the called. The one who's called alongside of you. He is there with you. Wherever you go, He's in you and He is with you. He is your right guard and He is your left guard. He is your rear guard and He is one who goes before you. Secondly, the Spirit of God is the third person of the Trinity. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Every time I think about that saying, Holy Spirit, with emphasis, some of y'all from way back, you heard me tell a story years ago. When I was, I had a mission early on in my life, had some kiddos there. I'll never forget Thomasine Washington. I was sitting on a piano bench and doing a Bible study with the kids, and she was about 12, 13 years old, and she's about that big around. And I was reading from the King James, this passage, and it said, the Holy Ghost, King James English. As soon as I said, Holy Ghost, Thomasina got up out of her seat, and she started dancing all around the room and danced into the other room, came back in, and sat down. And I said, and we just all watched her. I said, when she sat back down, I said, Thomasina, why'd you do that? She said, well, we've been looking at the window in the windows of that church down there on the corner, and said, every time somebody says Holy Ghost, that's what everybody does. You know what? There's sometimes I want to dance in the Spirit, and sometimes do. But that's one description of the move of the Spirit of God. And I'll be honest with you, in a lot of ways, I've become one of those people I used to make fun of. I'm dead serious with you. So be careful what God might have in store for you. Holy Spirit is a person. Number three, He's co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. You're not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, remember, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them are not Christians at all. Romans 8, 9 says. You see, and the reason why I read you that passage, it refers to the Holy Spirit both as the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ in the same verse. Virtually in the same sentence almost. So it goes either way. Number four, another descriptor of the Holy Spirit. He's co-creator. The earth was empty, had no form. Darkness covered the ocean, and God's Spirit was moving over the water. Genesis 1:2. And here's, do you see the picture of the Holy Spirit? He's working in concert with the Father and the Son, and He is brooding there. He is hovering over the face of the deep. I tell you, every time I read that passage, I think about Savannah. And here's why I think about Savannah. Because I believe in my heart that the Spirit of God is brooding over Savannah, Georgia, and wants to do a great work of revelation in this city. But He's not. Now, why is He not doing that right now? He's doing something. But just wholeheartedly to just come. That's why I love that last song we sing. You know, especially the last part about the dancers dancing upon injustice. What a beautiful picture. All right, need to move on. Number five, he possesses all the attributes of God. All the same attributes of God the Spirit has as the Father and the Son have. In 1 Corinthians 2 chapter, it says this, but we know these things because God's revealed them to us by His Spirit, and His Spirit searches out everything and knows us and shows us even God's deep secrets. I love this translation. No one can know what anyone else is really thinking except the person alone. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit, who is then revealing that to us. And God's actually given us His Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. You see, so when you receive Christ, you get the Spirit of Christ comes to dwell in you. And He is bringing you the revelation of God's attribute. That God is revealing things to you because the Spirit of God is living in you. The miraculous is possible through you. All the spiritual gifts are possible through you. It's just up to God which one you're going to have. Do you see this? Do you see why we're looking at this? As the Spirit is the one who is the giver of the gifts, primarily the gift, the gift of Jesus as salvation, and He comes and convicts and convinces us of our need of Jesus. But then He gives us gifts so that we can see the world evangelized and see the church built up and exalt Jesus. As that definition that we gave you earlier. Finally, number 6, He is the guarantee of everything the Father has promised. In Ephesians 1:13-14 it says, "And now you also have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom He promised." He marked you right then. The Spirit of God's guarantee that He will give us everything He promised, and that He has purchased us to be His own people. You see, the Holy Spirit is like earnest money. You bought a house before? Bought something that you had to put a earnest money on? Why'd they ask you to do that? To show that you meant business. So, why does God give us His Spirit? Well, one of the reasons is to show us that He means business. That all these other things that He has promised to us, He's going to do those things too. Now, let me give you a little prediction about something. If you will begin to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and allow God to do through you what He wants to do through you, let me tell you, there will be days when you will be so excited about God working here that you won't know whether or not, hey, do I need to stay here and be a part of what God is doing here, or need to go on to glory? You'll be caught in between, because that's exactly where Paul was caught. Remember when he said, "I don't know whether to go or to stay, because I see God working. I see the revelation." That gets you excited when you see those things that God is doing, and you can't deny them because it's God. To hear an answer to prayer like I heard this morning, "God healed me this week, Brother Dusty. God healed me." And I say to the Lord, "Praise be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus." And, you know, to hear that testimony that Dane shared earlier today about Miss Vivian that came with a group from Myrtle Beach, to see the miraculous things that have gone on. You see, the Spirit of God is wanting to do that in our lives and to get us wound up and excited, showing us, hey, here's the stuff that's already happening, but let me tell you, this is just the preview. You won't be able to describe it all or contain it all. Does it make sense? All right. So here's some conclusions for today. Number 1, if we're going to understand spiritual gifts in our lives, true biblical basis for spiritual gifts, then we must get the Spirit's identity right. He's not an it. He's third person of the Trinity. He's co-equal, He's co-creator. All of those things we just went through. Number 2, we need to understand that our identity is directly tied to the Spirit of God. Why would I make that statement? Because, let me tell you, you leave out of here today and there's a plan for your life. God has the day planned out for you. But here's the question. Are you going to cooperate with Him in doing that plan? And are you going to let Him use you and your gifts for His plan to go forth? If He has a plan, then He's planning to use you and your gifts. Now, give you an example from one of our guys. Donnie, you can chastise me later. Donnie calls me up the other day. Says, hey, Brother D, I need to talk to you. Said, all right, shoot, man. He said, going to have a little bit of time every once in a while here during the week. Said, I'm willing to come over here to the building and do some things. I said, do what, Donnie? He said, you know, fix things. And I said, oh, I got down on my knees right then. And I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because you know what? I'd been praying. Because we got a lot of things that need doing. God heard my prayer. Don't. There's a method to the madness here. Now, can Donnie do them? All the things I'm thinking about? Every one of them, because I've watched him and I've worked with him do those things, as I have many of you. Your gifts and graces, what God has given you, your abilities, your capacity, everything, your spiritual gifts, He wants to use them all. You see, our identity is tied to the Spirit of God. Number three, it's time for us to start cooperating with God instead of kicking against the pricks, to put it in old King James English. In other words, we need to start going with Him instead of bucking the tide of where the Spirit is moving. Because what happens when you buck the tide of which way? You're going to run into Him everywhere you go. It's time to start cooperating. Number four, He doesn't have to have you, but you must have Him. You got it? No explanation needed. Number five. Question. Will you listen to the Spirit's voice, in the very Spirit of Jesus, and begin to cooperate with Him? What's He telling you? And number six, finally, will you begin to discover your gifts and use them according to God's plan? God is not about ability. He is about availability. Are you available? Are you available to be used? It's the funny thing about certain things that most of us discover the spiritual gifts that the Lord has given you, not by doing some inventory, so that can be advantageous, but by being faithful to the Lord and putting our hand to what He calls us to put our hand to. And then we discover, hey, God's blessing this. You see, we need to flip our prayer. Our prayer doesn't need to be, God, come bless what I'm doing. That's me a lot of times. No, our prayer needs to be, God, where are you doing? And let me come join you. I want to do what you're blessing. You see, flip-flop. Let's bow our heads. A lot of teaching today. I want to let you know, got some questions to contemplate. The altar will be open. Maybe you just need to come and pray with a friend, a family member. This is your time. And you don't have to pray down here. Please, don't ever hear me saying that. God's looking at your heart, not where you pray or what position your body's in. This is your time. Now, I realize before we pray that there's some of us that have been through some tough things this week. And I want to let you know, Jesus is Lord over all. Let's go to the Lord. who is over all. I'm asking you, Lord, today that you'll take the teaching of your word. Lord, we've been through a lot of scriptures today, a lot. I'm asking you to bring those to our memory. And Lord Jesus, I pray that prayer. I pray a lot that, Lord, whatever has been said today that's not of you, let it fall. But Lord, every single detail of what has been said that is of you, God, that it will stick like Velcro to our lives. Lord, we're trusting you. We're interceding for our family today who needs you. Some, Lord, who need the body to pray for them today. Lord, we give you this time as we open the altar. If you've not brought your card or your offering today, we're going to leave the baskets here. But let's pray. Lord, I thank you for what you have done already this morning, the victories we have seen in Christ. And Lord, for all the needs that will be represented on the cards that go into these baskets, we pray for those in advance. And Lord, for the offering that will come through here today, may your blessing be upon those. And may your multiplication be upon them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We wait just a moment if you want to bring your offering or your card this time.